I just wanted to see if we could turn our attention to a different tentacle of imperial power, and that's south of the border in Chiapas and also in Oaxaca, Mexico, where I personally just returned from a trip to Chiapas, and what I was hearing before and then and since then is that the Zapatista and autonomous movement is facing a severe increase in paramilitary and military attack, and there's a large attack threatening against these communities that I know have provided a lot of inspiration for many of the people in this room.
You're speaking of Oaxaca now.
Oaxaca, but even now in Chiapas, there is an increase.
In Chiapas, yeah.
Have you heard of this, or do you know, what can you comment on how
we could... Yeah, I actually have friends down there, yeah. Actually,
I spoke to a group of activists in Oaxaca recently. I don't know exactly what's going on in Chiapas, but in Oaxaca, yeah, it's been pretty miserable and brutal. The Mexican police are extremely brutal. And when they're supported by the United States, there's no bounds. And what's happened in Oaxaca is pretty awful.
Unfortunately, they feel very abandoned by the international community currently, the Zapatistas specifically in the ETLN. Yeah.
Well, they're abandoned because it's not reported.
I mean, in fact, the Zapatistas survived only because they made very imaginative use of media like the internet. So they were able to garner public support, which restricted the capacity of the federales, you know, the Mexican army and police were basically terrorists. They restricted their ability with U.S. backing to just crush them. I mean, materially they could have done it, but with a tremendous amount of international support, they had to back off. That happens over and over. International solidarity makes a huge difference. Just to take another example, which is pretty stunning, in Bolivia, which is a remarkable situation, in December 2005, they had the most democratic election I've ever heard of. Certainly, you know, totally different from the charade that's going on here. It's a serious point, and we should think about it. I mean, I don't have to talk about what's going on here, you know very well. In Bolivia, the overwhelming majority of the population, which happens to be indigenous, for the first time in 500 years, entered the political arena and succeeded in electing somebody from their own ranks with issues that everybody knew about and that were extremely important. The election wasn't based on whether one of the candidates shed a tear or, you know, another one looks you straight in the eye or whatever it may be. The election was fought on issues like cultural rights, like taking control of your own resources. I mean, things that really matter to people, things that should, issues that don't even enter the discussion here. And they elected a poor peasant from their own ranks. That doesn't happen. You know, this kind of election doesn't take place in the West, but it took place, and Morales, who basically is a representative of the people, it's not, you know, it's not rule from above, is proceeding with those demands. He's bitterly condemned in the West as authoritarian or dictatorial because he's following the wishes of about 90% of the population, as for example when they moved towards nationalization of oil. Bitterly condemned here as authoritarian and dictatorial, failing to mention that, practically everybody supported it. Going back to the solidarity, this is, in Bolivia, they just didn't just go to the polls on election day and push a button like we're supposed to do. This is a constant struggle. The people who took part in winning the election had been struggling about this for years, and struggling, I mean, like Oaxaca, you know, getting killed by the military and police and so on, over real issues. The main one was in Cochabamba, where they were, the previous government, was following the instructions of the World Bank and the United States, you know, lies behind it, to privatize water. Well, you take an economics course, you know, you may learn a theorem which says that it's good to privatize water because it does also wonderful things. And then there's what in economics is called an externality, something we don't consider because it sort of messes up the model. The externality in this case is that people can't afford to buy it. so they starve. But that's somebody else's business. Abstractly, in some abstract world, it turns out that this works better. Well, the peasants of Cochabamba didn't accept it, and they struggled against it, and they succeeded in driving Bechtel out of the country. It's better than we did here when Bechtel was robbing us blind on the big dig. It'll have to be rebuilt in a couple of years. They drove him out, and solidarity made a big difference. It happened that that struggle in Cochabamba was peaking at the time of a meeting of the regional groups of the World Social Forum in Washington. There was big demonstrations about the IMF and the World Bank. It happened to be at the same time. And again, with clever use of the internet, activists in Bolivia were able to activate protests in Washington, in Seattle, in California, where Bechtel is located, in London, you know, all over the place, protests against the bank and the corporations, and they drove them out. And that's part of the one part, important part of the move towards the elections in that took place in Bolivia. So solidarity not only can make a big difference, it can save people from destruction. I mean, if you take a look at the balance of military forces, I mean, if that's all that mattered, it's obvious what would happen in the world. You know, Nazism would look gentle. What prevents it is a popular engagement to prevent predatory and violent institutions, states and private, from doing what they want. And the same was true in Chiapas, and it ought to be true in Oaxaca, but unfortunately it isn't, because people don't know about it.